Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
If you love me, please don't judge me. Got my hands tied, the power's above me. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just a puppet here. If you wanna place blame, then look to the puppeteer. Family, fortune, envy, jealousy, privilege, passed on, legacy, secret, sabotage, borderline, felony, suicide, subtract, selfish.
Welcome to another episode of Machiavellian Fucks, our succession podcast that's all bangers all the time. I'm Jason Madison, alongside my co-host, the Odin of Coden, Nando Vila, and Anthony Mays, who's not taking off his fucking coat.
Yeah, I'm the man, the myth, the monolith, baby.
Yeah, and we got a special guest to the Ken Fest, John Gervais. Welcome to the show.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me, man. It's an honor.
Yeah, we got a full house today, fellas.
Absolutely. Well, it's the party episode, you know? The more the merrier.
Yeah. Which one of you guys is ready to cut a rug with Shiv?
Oh, my God.
Figure out and give Shiv some room.
Yeah.
She's a menace on the dance floor.
I want to know like what the direction was. Like the director was like, okay, actress who plays Sarah Snook or whatever. Dance kind of like this. And then when she starts doing it, it's like, no. Maybe do it like a little different. Like I would love to have seen the direction that she got for those dance moves because they were spectacular.
Yeah, I love that. I bet you there was one direction. It just said Elaine.
Right.
That's all she needed. Was just Elaine.
Elaine Bennis. Yeah.
But like the 2021 version. I loved it. She looked like she was really into that grime song or whatever they were playing at the
Dizzy
time.
Rascal, I believe.
Yeah. I knew it was some
banger that was playing at that particular moment.
Yeah, some UK hip hop that was ringing off right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had the Notorious K.E.N. had his big 40th birthday bash. He got 80% of his A-listers to give him a yes. Elon was there, I guess, somewhere.
Yeah, that was the only name that stuck out of that, that rundown.
Yeah. And then obviously, his siblings showed up, which I'm just going to say for me, that was like the most heartwarming moment of the whole series, because it seems like to me that was the only time they've ever all gotten along or actually like came out and like kind of showed some love in their backwards Roy way to somebody. And they really all showed up and showed out for Ken for about 35 seconds.
Yeah, my favorite ever moment like that is in the finale last season when they're all hanging out by the pool on the yacht.
Oh, yeah.
Before Logan's helicopter touches down, emotional gunship incoming. But they're all doing like baby talk voices to each other and making fun of each other. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're actually a family. And it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Short lived.
Yeah. They had a little bit of that when they razzed Ken for which his parents shouldn't be there anyway, but his parents
or
not
his
being,
kids.
Or his kids. And his wife was actually there. Mm-hmm. But it was just like a funny line saying that, none of them showed up. He didn't have any real friends, which I mean technically he does not. But that was and then when they walked into the room with all the newspaper articles, that was probably the peak of it. And then Connor began to shut it all down and it started going downhill from there. But that was a great moment.
Yeah. I love Connor's line when he walks into the party. He's like, I shall remain coded as is my right, which is the best, just like fucking annoying libertarian guy thing to say.
Yeah.
He's very excited about polling close to 1%. That's 4 million people, could sway the election.
Either Merkel is going to call him or Soros, one of the two, no in between.
Yeah, Soros is going to serenade him.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, given what happens at the end of the episode, really it's kind of Kendall that fires first a little bit. Like, I mean, his is supposed to be like a joke. It's not supposed to be taken too seriously, although the jokes were kind of mean, But can we talk about the giant vagina at the entrance of the party?
Because, Caroline's vagina.
Yeah, Caroline's vagina. Just because throughout this whole thing, there's so many funny elements to the party, to the construction of the party. I consulted with Gladwell and Harari, and like they say, this is where the world's going. Such a fucking dumb rich guy thing to say. But I wish I was a fly on the wall in the writer's room while they were like, what if, here's an idea. It's a giant vagina and everyone walks through it and they're born into the world of Kendall Roy or whatever. Yeah. It's like, I love it. Yeah. That was just fucking great.
The production design really took it up a notch for all the different stages and rooms. And this thing is in an entire complex. There's the treehouse, which looked pretty dope, actually. The compliment tunnel.
I wanted to do a deep dive on the whole production design of this episode, and because I mean they really, hats off to them, they went balls to the wall from beginning to end. Like you said, the compliment tunnel, there was some stuff that I liked, like I said, the room with all the newspaper articles, the Kindle on the multi-screen that Greg starts to pound on when he gets upset, the fire room,
thought that was a model of Logan's office.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's what it was.
Saying that that's hell.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. See, I didn't even
catch
that.
Waystar, it's the Waystar, like, headquarter office. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. There was one really small thing that I loved, and it kind of goes along the lines with how they always switch up the ATN headline and stuff. So when Greg, or when Tom goes into Greg's room, his office, and he topples the desk, and Greg has to then pull the desk back upright, there's a movie poster on Greg's wall.
Calispatron.
Yeah, Destroyer of Moons. And there was such like a great art department moment, you know, not everybody will like see that. And I just wanted to shout them out for, you know, going the extra mile. That was great.
Yeah.
That's the Waystar version of the Transformers.
Exactly.
Is that movie franchise.
Yeah. So
is Baby Wu-Tang a real thing? I don't know much about hip hop anymore.
Tiny Wu-Tang.
Tiny Wu-Tang. Is that a real fucking thing? I was wondering that the whole time. Like these kids who do Wu-Tang covers.
I would love to see that.
I bet you there's a group somewhere in Brooklyn or somewhere. Like so there's someone doing birthday parties in New York somewhere that's doing that. There has to be.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, no. So I noticed something interesting in this episode that I guess has probably been at play for, you know, a large part of the show that I didn't really pay too much attention to. But Logan's women that he has around him versus Kendall's women that he has around him. And there was a moment when towards the end of the episode, because they kind of mirrored in this episode, and that's what made it stick out to me. Towards the end, you know, where Kendall decides not to get on the cross, right? And he's got Comfrey and I forget who his other PR lady's name
Barry.
Is.
Barry Schneider.
Yeah, Barry. Oh, right. Barry and then Nay, right? And that's kind of like his triumvirate of women around him, giving him the best advice. And that's probably the best decision Kendall makes on the whole show, honestly, is to not get up on that cross, because that could have only ended in catastrophe. And it's great to see how they kind of like softly, easily let him down. But they also cater to his ego way too much, right? They pandered to him. They would have let him go up there and do it. And then you look early in the episode and Logan has Carrie, Jerry, and Shiv. When, you know, he's going off about Gojo and he lets Carrie give her input, which is, I mean, she's just kind of regurgitating something he probably said earlier.
Yeah, she's really on her mini me.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jerry, you know, she's always shouting kind of the reasonable. She's the good angel on Logan's shoulder. And then Shiv trying to, you know, give her input on the broader macro picture. We need to get into sports betting and all this other stuff that is part of the Gojo platform.
There was a foreshadowing moment just right before that when Shiv and Roman are talking about the fact that Logan is banging his secretary who is 50 years his junior. And yeah. Shiv is like, this is a disaster. Like, this is super not normal, whatever. Yeah. And Roman's like, what are you talking about? It's the most normal thing in the fucking universe for this rich guy CEO to be banging his fucking secretary.
Exactly.
Like, that's literally the most normal thing that's ever happened.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I'm not saying it's like it's morally right or whatever, but
no.
Like, it just shows that Roman, like Shiv lives in a fucking fantasy land when it comes to her family, you know, like
yep.
Roman, like, has a much clearer eye as to what's going on.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like Logan is still doing everything he needs to do. You know, he dropped the car to Roman, you know, and that sent Kendall in a tailspin. Now, it's arguable about what actual actions sent him into that tailspin, because it might have been his interaction with Nay. It might have been his interaction with Rava, because that's where he really started going down.
Yeah, it was the post-Rava binge drinking when he grabs the 40 on his 40th.
Yeah.
And then just there's that great scene where he's just walking through, just being such an asshole.
Yeah.
Telling some guy he's got orthopedic shoes.
Yeah.
Talking about the all bangers all the time, calls Greg a snitch bitch, just unloading.
Yeah.
So great.
That was his descent into the ninth circle of hell right there.
Yeah.
Well, and then he couldn't find his the birthday present from his children, which is like what really sent him over the edge.
The right? MacGuffin, I mean, it was of the definitely, episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a combination of all factors. I mean, it's the emptiness at the heart of his life that he can that he, you know, he gets an offer for $2 billion, which like means in a way that he'd be free of all this. I mean, that's kind of what Naomi's saying. Like, I'll give you a blowjob and we could take $2 billion. You know, yeah. Like you can fucking you can be a happy person if we just kind of allow it to happen. And he just can't. And he realizes at the end, by the end, that his life is completely hollow, devoid of any kind of actual familial relationships or even any relationships at all. Everything is just transactional. Everyone's there because he's rich. The party is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's like, he tries to do like, you know, 15, what he calls like a 15 layer joke, you know, that the whole crucifix thing. He's like, in the beginning when he's doing the rehearsal and he goes to Naomi, it's funny, right? You know? And like, I'm like, why is this funny? Like, this is like, there's no, I don't get the joke. And she's just like, no, I just think it's like, you know, good. Like, you're a good singer, which I find her character to be kind of befuddling in a way, but kind of interesting also in that she, I don't know if she's like an enabler or she's just like a genuinely sweet, you know, person who cares for Kendall.
She seems
to relate to him.
Yeah, she seems like the person who can most relate to him other than his siblings. And he would have a good relationship with Shiv, who is the other person who's most like him, if they weren't always at odds. So he doesn't have any beef with Nay, you know, so they get along. Everybody else wants what he wants. And so that's why they can never get along.
Nay, I'm that person that can watch a show from start to finish and see everything that happens and literally not know a character's name. Nay is the Nay is the quote unquote looking like his girlfriend.
Yeah.
His girlfriend, okay, so yeah. I actually disagree. I think she saw something she didn't like this episode. Especially at the end, right? When they pan out on her and they kind of show like he has the breakdown that you all mentioned, right? Like, he goes through all those emotions. He realizes that, like, he kind of just realizes, like, yo, like, I'm tripping, right? Like, I'm literally, like, watching me be the person that takes down my family, right? Mm-hmm. And he has that mental breakdown. Yeah, the kid not finding his kid's gift. I don't really get that too much because I'm just like, dude, it's a party. Like, someone has your gift. You're rich. You know, the gift's going to show up, right? Like,
right.
It's not the end of the world, right? Like, anyone who's ever thrown a huge party, you probably, like, especially if you get lit like he was supposed to be getting lit, like, it's probably going to be a day or two before you even, like, get to these gifts. It'll show up, right?
Right.
But, like, her, she's, like, she just knows him as, like, you know, the, I guess, like, the quote-unquote bad boy, right? Like, he's like, the one that's just, like, F his dad, you know, whatever. I'm just going to go on a limb. And then he kind of just, like, breaks down in front of her, right? Like, and right. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but like, that doesn't usually go well when like you're like supposed to be like this powerful, dominant man, and then you just have like this mental breakdown. It either goes one or two ways with your significant other, right? Like, they either step up to the plate, they've got your back, and they're like, yeah, like, you know, it's us, or they're just like, you're not really the person. And I think that's kind of what happened to her then. Like, she's like,
right,
I'm kind of cool on you, right? Like, you're actually not like a bad boy. Like, you're kind of, it's like, I'm not trying to be like the person that keeps mentioning Seinfeld, but it's when George had the baseball jacket on and he's like, you know, he's trying to make it seem like he's like this cool guy, but you can only act cool, but for so long. And he had this mental breakdown. I actually think that they're going to pivot her, and I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, somehow, some way she kind of fades the black on him. Not necessarily in the show, but as far as being his lover, like, he turns down the blowjob. He was just gift. Super weird.
Yeah.
Well, also, Logan still wants to buy Pierce. I mean, she's from the Pierce family, right? Yeah. She's the Zion of Pierce. And Logan, which is another funny, like, I kind of find an interesting critique of the show, is that the show, in a way, is super informed by Twitter. I mean, I can see where a lot of the jokes come from, like, from tweets from, like, 6 months ago or whatever. It's the show's kind of central ethos is also a new media skeptic, in that Logan himself is kind of a new media skeptic. Whereas the kids are like, there's that scene in the beginning where they're like talking about the deal with Gojo, and Shiv's like, you know, us, you know, we in the room, like, we get it, you know, like, we get it, yeah. Like, you know, this is like a fucking dinosaur, it's gonna die or whatever. And like, Logan, like, doesn't quite believe that. He believes that the old media still has more power than the new media, and that's why he gets excited about Pierce in a way that he can't really get excited about Gojo. Like, the slightest fucking, you know, bump in the road wants to, yeah, you know, it's to call off the deal. But that strikes me as like what the Kendall Naomi thing is building up towards. Like, she's kind of been around this season, but not like been that critical. But I suspect that like in the coming Pierce Waystar discussions, that the Kendall relationship with her will come back to the fore.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it going down like that. The way that he turned down that blowjob, she was not feeling him. You know, like, she was. Well, off that.
To be fair to Kendall, there, terrible timing by Naomi. Like, don't try to give him your shitty watch gift that you know is shitty. Don't half-assedly offer a blowjob once you see that it's not going well. That was just, that whole scene made my skin crawl.
Offering a blowjob, there's worse fucking things in this on this life. You know, like, there's never like, you know,
it's not like she offered him a
kick. It's not like she offered him a kick in the nuts, you know.
Right.
I actually thought it was kind of noble of her, right? Like, she's like, hey, it's sweet. I screwed it was up. Sweet. I gave you a terrible, terrible gift. Let
me
just.
That probably cost me $2,000, you know.
Yeah, like, right. No, yeah. But here. Yeah. Hey, you'll at least take this. And he's just like, nah, I'm good. And it's just not what she probably expected.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of blowjobs and sexual innuendos, apparently Tom has a dick the size of a red sequoia and fucks like a bullet train.
Prove it.
Yeah, prove it.
Yeah. That was such a great moment between him and Greg. I mean, you know, the show's greatest gift is the scenes between Tom and Greg, and they always deliver.
Yeah.
Right. And that was just a hilarious moment between them.
There's also the funny thing, the conceit in the show that Greg is supposed to be like super ugly. And, you know, like, he's like, I'm aware of the, you know, difference in the bodily composition between me and Humphrey or whatever.
Yeah.
And chasm. Like the chasm or whatever. But in real life, Greg Nicholas Braun has become a kind of, I don't know if like semi-ironic or not, but like a kind of sex symbol amongst
kind of
a certain
core hot.
Yeah, right. Totally.
But I would say the ladies
would be fucking loving Nicholas Braun. Like, right. They love him, you know?
But not to cut you off, but I would just say specifically, like, the fact that they compare her to Jackie Onassis, or Tom compares her to Jackie Onassis, like,
Comfrey?
What is the obsession with Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis? She is
class,
not,
dude.
She is
that's
not.
What they, that's what they like.
Grace.
She is not a pretty. She is not a pretty lady. Okay. She does not. She's not stunning.
This is not where I expected this podcast to go.
Yeah. Well, in the context of first ladies, I mean.
Melania's number one. I mean, in context of first ladies, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there was a joke that I saw on Twitter, which was basically saying the same thing. Like, that's why he was fucking Marilyn Monroe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's probably also not Marilyn Monroe's like the hottest woman of all time. You know, like, most women compare poorly to Marilyn Monroe.
She just gives me like a school teacher type of vibe. And I never saw it. And the fact that people are finally speaking up about it, I feel like. Because
finally, because Jackie O, but the big Jackie will not fucking convince me that Jackie O was hot.
Jason's been holding this candle for years, waiting for this moment.
He's like, I'm
more of a Barbara Bush guy, to be honest.
Oh, man.
You're looking at her with 2021 eyes. Like, you got to look at her at 1960,
the Kim Novaks, there was hot women back then, man. Like,
but
Elizabeth Taylor,
not politician wives. And she may not, she may not be like, you know, I feel you. Like, I always look and I'm just like, I don't get it. Right.
Yeah.
But like, I get it, but I'm, you know, I guess to each his own. I don't know.
I never saw the,
Tom, who's like a, you know, the character of Tom is like a, he's a super striver, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy who is obsessed with the trappings of the elite, right? Like he's obsessed with fine wines and knowing about it and all that shit. Because he was not born into it, like he's just some fucking kid from Minnesota. Yeah. He's obsessed with the aesthetics around an ultra elite. That's why he's always like commenting on Greg's suits. Like in this episode, he like notices this as a entry point to the ruling class. And Jackie O, for that kind of person, is the epitome of a person who was able to up her station and enter into the ruling class. Like he probably identifies with Jackie O in that she was not, you know, she was not a super kind of scion of American, the ruling class, but then she fucking married Kennedy and then married a Greek billionaire and, fucking lived a good life and was, you know, revered by millions of women as like the epitome of class. And, you know, he would like a similar fate for Tom Wamsgans.
Right. Yeah. I feel that 100%. I think that also Greg is not like a bad looking guy and his position in the game is just like, why are you like, she's working for Ken.
She's an assistant PR person. And like, he's probably getting close to being a millionaire already at this point. Like I feel like it's the other way around, if anything. But
100%. And it's like, yeah, you just had a deal on the table from Logan, like offering you whatever you want. Like, and you bought a $40,000 watch a couple of weeks ago. You telling me you worry about some little chick who's Ken's assistant? Like, get out of here, bro. But I mean, he asked her out. He got his wish. And I think that's a part of the difference also between Greg and Tom is like Greg kind of being the younger man is happy with simple things. You know what I'm saying? Getting the girl to say yes to a date and, you know, whatever, just walking around the party. Tom is having a terrible time like walking around the party.
Well, but he's still not fully broken, Greg, you know, he still retains some part of his humanity. Tom is like has invested fully. Like he is. His whole self has invested into this project of, you know, whatever it is like, cause he doesn't even, he has a little bit of vertigo in that he doesn't like pitch himself as CEO ever, you know?
Right.
But he has in his mind, he has rationalized his choices to, do whatever it takes to, get up into this family. And again, there was a pivotal moment in this episode when Logan Roy quietly grabs his arm and goes like, I'll remember this when Tom big realized moment. That he wasn't going to jail.
And that's actually what Shiv told him at the beginning was like, it's probably not going to end up with you in jail, but this could be a good way for you to earn some gold, some coin, some, you know, some cachet with Logan. And it might have worked out for him.
It did. Logan gave him that nice wrist grab when he walked by him and said he'll remember.
Yeah, but like when you're the person that's the one that's actually facing the time, I mean, it's a lot easier for the Shivs and everyone to just come up and be like, yo, it's not that serious. Don't worry about it. But he's the one that's facing whatever the time, you know, the time would have been. I think they just play him from day one. Like he's always just being strung along. And I think Logan, any interaction, Logan could give two craps about Tom. Like anytime he gets an opportunity to trash Tom, to make it clear that Tom is nobody or Tom is clearly not them. Right. He always does it.
Yeah.
And I don't trust if I was Tom, I would literally, I think everyone showed their true colors to him, even his own wife. Right. Like they all show their true colors. No one cares about him. Literally no one cares about him. He can't. He's not in power enough to make his own moves and to really consider himself. But he'd be a fool, in my opinion, to think that Logan, like anything he did, Logan recognized. I think Logan gave him that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, now, you know, fuck off. Right. Like
exactly. Like,
there's nothing else for you.
Yeah. No, Logan is definitely like. All bless her with Tom, like, whatever, get the fuck out of my face, you know? And he's moving on to the next thing.
The world is racing to get back to normal and start meeting up in person again. But after the year we've all had, getting back to feeling normal takes time. I don't know about you guys. I've been feeling overwhelmed, flustered, just avalanche, stuck under this avalanche of things I have to do and people I have to see and people I got to talk to, Zoom meetings and emails. Hell, even this ad that I'm recording right now, I forgot that I had to do it. I'm doing it from a computer that's not even mine. It's really tough to do all of this when you feel like you're trying to handle it all by yourself. Do you feel like that? If you're feeling overwhelmed by it all, guess what? You're not alone. It's important to find the support you need to face those feelings and move forward. We all talk to our friends when we're experiencing issues, but they don't always give us the advice we need. I mean, think about it. They can't really give us unbiased feedback because they're involved in many of our interactions and how we are. What you really need is advice from a licensed professional. It could be refreshing and rewarding. When you're in a low point, you might feel alone. But over 50% of Americans struggle with their mental health. We all need help sometimes, and asking for support when you need it is actually a sign of strength. Here's the idea. Use Talkspace. It's great. It's easy to use. It matches you with a licensed therapist and schedule live video sessions, all from the comfort of your device. You can start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up. The app makes it easy to connect with the therapist that is licensed and on your schedule without having to wait weeks before your next appointment. You can go anywhere and take your therapist with you. Whether you're a parent, student, millennial, or just someone having a hard day, Talkspace can provide the support to help you feel better with a single message. Talkspace offers individual and couples therapy in addition to medication prescription services. Set goals with your therapist, and they can help make sure you're really progressing. Talkspace therapists help you develop the tools to cope in difficult times. It works around your schedule at your convenience. Send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the app. Schedule live video sessions with your licensed therapist from anywhere. Whether you're experiencing depression, anxiety, or other problems, Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform to help you sort through any issue. Got thousands of licensed therapists available for you to match with, and they're experts in dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more to help you start feeling better. Start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code BOM. That's $100 off when you use the code BOM at Talkspace.com.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Let's talk a little bit about the Gojo deal and Mattson and how that played out.
This season is basically doing a tour amongst the different sectors of the American oligarchy. We have obviously the Roy family. We got a taste of Adrian Brody, this kind of like cool young finance guy, you know, probably into crypto or whatever. And now we got the tech guy who is just this like probably on the spectrum, totally antisocial weirdo. Again, who cannot enjoy any of this, like all of them. That's a consistent theme throughout it, is that no one can enjoy anything, that there's no pleasure to be had at that level. But this guy, it was just like a total, like he's like sitting there just kind of practically twiddling his thumbs in the middle of a party, unable to speak to anyone. Honestly, the Odin of Coden, that rings true to me. This guy who's like obsessed with, offended by a bad product, you know, like StarGo or whatever the Roystar streaming platform is. It like offends him that like the code is so bad and you have to burn it and put it in a fucking cabinet forever
and light it on
acid bath, and you know, like he's just like this antisocial nerd who has been given this incredible amount of wealth and power, and what he does with that is just act like a total weirdo.
Yeah, no, his whole get down is like, he doesn't want to be bothered, but he's there, you know, like he wants to say something fucked up or do something fucked up, which is funny when Kendall offers him the his drug guy. What did he call him?
Reese. Yeah.
He said he told him he's a bad guy, which I love.
Human dark web.
Basically the dark web.
And then that wasn't enough for him. So the only thing that can cure your fix if you're not getting enough negativity in your life is Roman Roy. And, you know, he came up and basically served him everything he wanted. He talked shit to him. And he provided him an outlet to get his 12-year-old boy being bad, you know, little itch. He got that itch off with Roman, which, you know, obviously Roman loves to hang out in bathrooms with guys. So
it's his move.
I don't know what
works every time.
That's what he does. That's how he's become the greatest businessman in North America.
Yeah.
I did love the line from Lucas that represented the audience in the fantastic way of how long's your dad gonna live?
Yeah.
How long's this gonna go? We doing one more year of Succession? We doing 5 more years of Succession? Because 5's a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
That was great, great. Just stepping right through the screen and
and Roman
directly to us.
Roman was almost caught off guard for a second. You know, you could see him kind of like, and then he had that little wry smile, like, wait, oh, that means you are into the shit that I'm into. So let's play that game, you know? And then he starts talking about, you know, whatever he wants to talk about. And then he breaks into his business. You know, Roman really did get down to brass tacks with him, which was kind of impressive for a second. And I was like, okay, he's really ready to handle these types of situations, which it seemed like he wasn't ready for before. But obviously, you know, we saw what the wind did, and it went to his fucking head, and he lashed out at everybody.
It totally went to his head, but I mean, again, he is the theme of this season. Like, we ask, like, who won the episode, and like, the guy who's winning the season is clearly Roman, and it's for a very obvious reason, in that he represents his father's id, you know, very, very well. Whereas Shiv made the huge mistake of betting, of allying with that side of the war instead of with Kendall, who she would be much more comfortable with or understand with is able to understand him and be simpatico with. Like, she just made a tragic mistake that she'll never be able to get back, because she burned the bridge with Ken with the letter out of like just a temper tantrum, and now she's stuck with these two guys who she has nothing in common with, can't understand, they don't listen to her, and with good reason. Like, there's no reason for them to listen to her. They're fine without listening to her, whereas with Kendall she would actually have some sort of sway and power. So I think that, like, it seems to me like what it's building up to is that Roman is going to keep on, you know, winning, building up toward the end of the season. And then there's going to be some sort of cataclysmic event that'll probably, move Shiv back into the Kendall camp and set up a war between kind of like the liberals, quote unquote, Kendall and Shiv, and the, you know, fascist sympathizers, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, the Nazi lovers.
I'm a believer in liberal democracy, okay?
Yeah, he got to say that to Shiv's face, and you know that that just made her...
That stung.
Yeah, they had some interesting physical violence taking place in this episode as well. It made me think back to when they were at... I forgot what was the name of the conference when Logan slapped... Argestes. Yeah, Argestes was Argestes, yeah, and Logan slapped the shit out of Roman. Now Roman, you know, he's taking that on. Well, after Kendall put hands on him for a little second, moved him out of the way, you know, he was feeling a little feisty, and he saw Kendall was feeling down and decided to give him a little shove in the back, and Kendall fell over like an 80-year-old man. I don't know what that was about, but I guess, you know, he was so deflated as a person at that moment that he
didn't even have the energy to catch himself. Hit the floor.
He couldn't stand on his own 2 feet getting pushed by his little brother.
But like you said, Nando, it's kind of how Rosie Perez put it in White Men Can't Jump. Sometimes when you win, you lose. And sometimes when you lose, you win. This was a huge counting your chickens before they hatch episode. Tom is celebrating like he's never going to go to prison, even though Jerry was like, it's just headed that way. It's nothing's done. This is just what I've heard. It's a vibration. And then Roman counting his chickens with this Gojo deal. You know, he gets the piss handshake, which is fucking disgusting, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
And then calls himself the greatest businessman in the world, gets wasted, says he's going to fuck his dad and doing the little daddy dance. And it's like, all right, dude, it's episode 7. We got 2 more.
Yeah.
Doesn't he know it's episode seven?
Yeah, poor guy. And poor Tom did the drugs in the wrong order. Amateur move. Yeah. He's been out of the game for too long.
Yeah, it's been a while since the bachelor party, I guess.
It's like scoring the go ahead touchdown, and there's
too early.
2 minutes left on the clock, and Tom Brady's waiting for it. It's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. So, who do we think won the week, fellas?
It's Roman, but
Roman
for how long? Yeah.
Okay, Roman. Well, I'm gonna give my alternate take and say, well, first I'll just say not Shiv because she obviously lost.
Yes.
But,
well, we didn't even talk about the fact that Roman and Logan are conspiring to take control of the company behind her back. Like that's what was going on there. If they ally and get Kendall's share, they can muscle everyone else out, including her. That's why when Roman's like, oh, just a fucking wheel of musical chairs or whatever. Like, no, like she realizes that like if they get Kendall's share and they're in an alliance, then she's out.
Yep. Yeah, no, that was the big news of the episode. But I have to say that Carrie was also a winner to me. She looks like she has moved up the totem pole fast as fuck.
Is having sex with an 80-year-old man winning?
Maybe Anna Nicole, you never know. I don't know. He's got a red sequoia. You never know.
An 80-year-old, like... most power. Yeah, I mean, you got to give her a little bit of a win, right? He's the most powerful. Right. I think that makes up for the 80-year-old aspect.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it might be a year, might be 5 years, you know? So in a year, she might have a couple ability to her name.
Right place, right time.
Yeah. Depending on how she plays her cards. So, you know, I have to give her a shout out. But yeah, Roman, he's been cleaning house, you know, like he's a rebel without a cause. He's fucking tearing shit up and he don't care.
As long
care.
As there are bathrooms, Roman Roy will succeed.
Yeah, he's going to keep getting dubs. But yeah, he has some great lines in the episode. He was that daddy doesn't want to fuck you anymore. He wants to fuck me. It was crazy.
And the head banging, like the circular head banging.
At the beginning when Frank goes, we're driving on the open road with the wind in our hair. He's like, the wind in your hair, Frank.
Yeah. So
Frank calls Comfrey a very even-handed man.
Yeah.
Delivery was killer on that.
Yeah, what were some of our favorite lines?
I loved when Kendall goes to when he's like getting excited for the party on his balcony, and he's like FaceTiming with Comfrey, and he's like, "Hey, man, you know, like I want you guys to like let loose too, all right? Like the staff, you know, like everyone's like super egalitarian. I mean, do your job, obviously, but like, hey, man, get your drink on." You know, yeah. Like, it's just the perfect encapsulation of like how full of shit he is.
Oh yeah, that was a great Kendall moment.
He had a lot of what I would consider. I mean, I'm showing my age. A lot of young gear on. I felt like the bomber jacket. Am I imagining a gold chain or something around it? I might be imagining that, but I feel he like had, even on the he balcony, had when he had like a chain or like a turtle.
Yeah, it's like a silver chain. Yeah, he's ridiculous. I always love a good Connor line. When Comfrey came up to him and Willa, and he tells her, "I lost the Norwegian wool in a fusion restaurant in Vancouver."
Oh yeah,
that was he hasn't just, forgotten about it.
Yeah, I thought that was a great bit of writing.
I also like what Greg was planning on telling Comfrey as his pickup line. He's like, "You're like a fascinating book. I would love to crack open."
Greg is so ridiculous, dude. When Mattson says that he wants privacy, pussy, and pasta.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a t-shirt right
three
there.
Three P's.
Yeah.
Kendall offers him some weird pasta I've never even heard of, Garganelli. Yeah, well, after this was like another funny moment, like when after Kendall decides that he is not going to do the ridiculous Billy Joel thing, and you suspect that maybe there was like a moment of learning there, like this is all ridiculous. Like immediately after, Comfrey tells Greg, he's like, "Kendall just made me call Springsteen to come rescue the vibe.
I'm trying to change the vibe."
And then she's working on a jetpack, but it takes 48 hours. And the line that really just hit home to me, having previously worked for eccentric rich people, is a lot of the ideas are jokes, but some aren't.
Yeah.
You never know.
But I think that Springsteen would have rescued the vibe had he came through. He definitely would have changed the vibe in that party. And speaking of popular 80s singers, what about his Billy Joel at the beginning of the episode? I actually thought it was pretty decent.
Not bad.
It was better than
El Tano. Who knows how to sing, pretending to not be able to sing.
Right. Yeah. There are some flat notes, but it's fine. Yeah.
I love the Comfrey line. She has some great lines in the episode.
Dasha, man.
Yeah.
What a year for Dasha from Red Scare.
Yeah.
She said she was talking about Kendall when he was backing down from doing the crucifix. And she said, you're supposed to say this is the culmination of my life's journey, being crucified to save you morons.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's probably what he told her. I'm trying to think of any other great ones. Oh, at the end, Roman calling Logan saying, "I'm the only child you'll ever need. You can kill the others. Love you."
Yeah. Well, there was also the great when Comfrey tells Greg that she goes, "I'm sorry, I have to like, you know, smear your reputation in the press." He's like, "The whole press?" He's like, she's like, "Don't worry, I'll keep it like targeted, not terminal." And he goes like, and he breaks into this weird like southern gentleman thing. He's like, "Well, thank you, God, little man. How can I possibly repay you? Your kindness, you even-handed maiden."
Even-handed maiden was great.
It kind of sounded like Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. It was just like, so good.
No, that was great. We'll see, I guess, next week if the Gojo deal goes through. We have a Caroline and Peter Munyon wedding to attend.
They came up with a wedding out of thin air in the last episode. They're like, "All right, now we're headed there." And, I mean, only two more, guys. They trimmed that 10th episode off, which is kind of surprising to everybody, I think. And
yeah, I didn't know that.
Home stretch.
Yeah, until recently. I'm going to miss, you know, doing the show. I feel like we didn't even get together for long enough to, you know, start enjoying it. And it's already over. Apparently,
just like Kendall's birthday party.
Right, exactly. J. Smith Cameron did an interview where she said that the ending of the season is going to be a surprise. It's going to be shocking, she said. So I'm intrigued. You know, obviously we had the
It'd be funny if she was like, actually, the ending is going to be kind of a letdown. Right. It's going to suck. We're going out with a whimper.
Will there be any more tree houses?
That'd just be some good media spin, you know, controlling the narrative by Waystar.
Yeah. For sure. So, yeah, guys. Well, we're looking forward to the next episode. Any predictions for the ending?
I like the guy that plays Peter Munian. Mm-hmm. Pip Torrens is his name. He was in Preacher. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. But, you know, it's interesting how going into the season, Alexander Skarsgård, Adrian Brody, Sanaa Lathan, you know, huge names. And really very minimal screen time. Like, this show is about the Roys, and they sneak in a Carl scene and sneak in a Tom and Greg scene every week, but that's it.
These guys are definitely just fans of the show, and they're coming in for a one-day shoot, like a couple scenes, bam, bam, out of here, you know? I was in Succession. There you go, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like Daniel Craig being a stormtrooper in the new Star Wars, or whatever.
I don't know, man. I feel like I don't say they're not underused, but I like the core, you know? I like the core group, and I don't really think that anybody kind of needs more than a cameo here or there for this show. You know, it would kind of like make it weird. So the only thing is that's fucked up is there's this looming feeling that they're going to kill off one of the main characters, you know, or like Logan, or somebody's going to disappear, or there's going to be some kind of, you know, weird shift in the dynamic in order to excite the audience. And I just hope it doesn't feel unwarranted, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Jerry, killing off Logan would make narrative sense, you know? Obviously, like, doesn't mean they're going to do it, but that does make sense. Like, there's no scenario in which they've set it up too much where, like, there's no scenario in which any of the kids or even a group of them or even all three of them together could take him on and beat him. It would feel cheap, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like a surprise would be to, like, kill Kendall or something like that. And that would fuck it up. But, you know, who knows? It might not be either one of those things. We'll see. Jerv, what you think?
I think the deal falls through flat on his face. Roman goes back to being Roman somehow, some way. Like, I think TV is just TV. So I think somehow, some way, Kendall and it ends with Kendall and Logan, something happening with those two, you know, not saying that, you know, someone gets killed off or anything like that, but something happens to one of those two. Like, that has to be how this season ends. Yeah. You know, I love Roman. I think Roman is fucking awesome. He, you know, he's weird as hell, but I like him. You know, I like the weird. But I can't take him being successful. So somehow, some way, he's got to fall flat on his face. He just doesn't seem like the guy that's supposed to be successful, right? Like, he just seems like he's the joke outside of Connor. Connor's like the real joke that no one ever just respects. It's just like, just go be Phil Jackson somewhere in like the mountains or some shit, right? Like, but Roman has to fall back on his flat on his face or whatever. And you know, maybe I can't say Kendall gets reunited with them, but you know, maybe Shiv figures out a way to get back on the good side. Cause just out of nowhere, like, first she was it, and then she's not, you know, now she's, you know, like, super duper out. I just think Logan's such a wild card that it's got to be something that you win. Anybody but Tom, right? Like, it's not Tom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Tom's not going to be. I think Tom's just going to be consistently Tom. So at the end, I think Roman goes back to being Roman. The joke, either Shiv or Kendall, you know, really takes control or makes the power move to set up, you know, whatever they're going to do for the next season.
Yeah, I like that. I've been waiting for somebody to switch sides all season, and that hasn't happened. So, I mean, what Nando is saying about how, you know, Shiv and Kendall kind of see more eye to eye than the other members of the family. But yeah, there's that letter to overcome. I mean, they really in the last two episodes took all the wind out of the sails of the DOJ case and Kendall in at all. So it seems like he's not going to cash out because that's not interesting for the show, but he's got to get reintegrated somehow. And Roman's going to have to get knocked off this pedestal he's on right now.
Which, by the way, the DOJ investigation just kind of fizzling out is very true to life. Like, the fucking Department of Justice is not going to fucking crack down on some American company for some bullshit that happened on some cruises.
And like, definitely not quickly, which is what they're really emphasizing. It's like they're just flooding this thing and it's going to last for 5 years. And now Kendall needs to strike while the iron's hot and that's done.
Yeah, I don't know why Kendall, even being in the corporate space, ever thought that that was going to play out in some sort of hyper speed manner. Like, bro, you should know better. You know how.
No, he doesn't know better because he's an entitled fucking rich kid. I mean,
he got the best lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
He has the papers.
That's what he thinks. Like, he's got, what do you mean I don't get what I want? Like,
game over.
Just, yeah.
If he had a killer instinct, he could really be successful. Well, and stay off the drugs and like not kill people with his with his car and shit. But he could really be something. He could really make something out of himself if he could just kick those bad habits.
Yeah, I mean, if he had Roman's killer instinct or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's always been the problem with Kendall is that he was too coddled. Probably he tried to do the right thing and work at the company dutifully, learning the business, learning the ropes or whatever, and he did more than the other kids, and look what it got him. Nowhere. Like, he's nowhere. The other kids just fucking fucked around and did whatever they wanted their whole lives and didn't actually work at the company. They don't know shit about it. They don't know how it works, and they're in a stronger position than he is. So yeah,
wild times, man. Wild times.
That is the seventh episode of Machiavellian Fucks, our Succession recap podcast. Only two episodes left. I'm already getting sad. I'm going to miss you guys. For Jason Madison, John Gervais, thank you very much for joining us. Anthony Mays, the super producer, we're out.